Hello, y'all.
Well, I can't hear you. Say something. Now, okay, go ahead.
All right. Hi.
All right. So what are we coaching on today?
So I signed up. It was hard to pick, but I signed up to talk about secret eating.
Oh, boy. Yeah. A nice light topic for a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know. I wanted to challenge you. So I've been doing this as long as I can remember. I mean, back to my teen years, my fantasies of growing up weren't about like getting a job and everything. It was about having a weekend to myself to eat everything I wanted. So okay. Like this is long in my brain. But I find I do it in ways that it certainly leads to overeating. It's never rarely a planned event, but I'm really trying to work through it and I'm trying to let the past go, but like I'm trying to articulate what's this feeling that comes over me, that this urgency that I need to do it. And it can be as small as my husband's upstairs taking a shower. I can run down and probably grab a couple pieces of cheese and crackers before he comes down.
So why would you want to do that?
This is the part I need help with. I'm trying to model this and figure out like, it certainly doesn't serve me. I mean, we know that.
What is wrong with it?
It's almost always leading to an overeat. And it's that it almost scares me. It's the urgency of it that scares me.
Well, this is what I want to address. Cause I like, don't worry about how long you've been doing it and stuff. That's like, we all want to make that very relevant to our story and it never matters. The length of time something's happened or when it started and all that stuff never really matters. It's always, how are you feeling about it today? What are you thinking about it today? And that kind of thing. And one of the things that I want to ask you is, why are you sold that it's a bad thing? What if it's just secret eating? I'm one of those people who, you know, likes to eat when no one else is around.
I honestly never thought about it that way because it's so shameful for me. And again, I completely agree. The past is the past and I'm really working on future forward. But I do feel like that girl who got her license and was so excited to go to McDonald's and go to a parking lot and inhale it every time I do it.
Let me ask you this. So let's go back to cheese and crackers. Okay. Your husband's taking a shower and you're like, I'm going to go downstairs and have cheese and crackers. You call it a shameful event. I call it, Chris is in the shower. I'm going to go downstairs and eat some cheese and crackers.
I know. I never thought about it as anything but bad. Secretive, you know, rebellious maybe. I don't know. But I never put it in a positive context.
I think that's part of the problem. So when you... If every time you eat when someone is not around, then now you've attached it to that. Like, okay, this eating must be bad. This must be wrong. There's something wrong going on here. Rather than like the first step for this, like if you don't want to be eating like, you know, in secret or eating, I don't even know if it helps you to call it secret eating. I want you to think about your definition of secret eating. Is it as benign as mine or is it like laced with venom?
Totally laced with venom because if I get caught, right, then the shame is like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're caught with cheese and crackers.
I know.
I can imagine. You should be stripped and made to walk down the street with the bell. You know, it is Game of Thrones Day. Let's make sure we have at least one reference. It's atonement for you.
Oh God. It's so stupid. And even when I'm feeling that, I'm like, well, I live in a house full of men, right? I have five boys and a husband. And believe me when I tell you, they don't care because they're eating 1,000 times more than I am. But
you care.
I care. I definitely care. I don't know if maybe it's connected to the, okay, well now I've overeaten and there's either a recovery worksheet in my future or just, you know, should be, it's not often enough, but
yeah, because if you're going to be full of shame, you're for sure not going to want to do a recovery worksheet because the recovery worksheet means you're bringing up, like, it will trigger your shame. You'll cut off all your helpful tools because of how you're thinking about this rather than, like, what if we just call it There are times I eat in front of other people. There are times I choose to eat alone, and I'm going to just work on that now. I'm going to work on why I'm wanting to eat alone right now.
So, okay. It's really interesting. And I'm going to have to reframe that in my brain. That'll take some work. But now, so yeah. You brought up something about, you know, what if it's just I eat alone? That is actually a guilty pleasure when I put it that way. And if I plan on it knowing I'm going to be alone for this window of time, because it happens rarely that I'm like, I'm going to eat whatever it is I'm going to eat. It actually doesn't even matter. Sometimes it's like a treat, but most of the time it's just, oh, I'm going to eat alone. And it's so.
So tell me about, all right, so this is so interesting because it doesn't, guys, it could be a sheet cake. It could be cheese and crackers. It can be a stalk of broccoli. If you have shame and judgment, you have it shame and judgment. This is one of the things, like a lot of times we start categorizing what we're eating, like, oh, but this is what makes it bad or whatever. I just want to say that because there's a lot of people who do the same behavior and they'll think cheese and crackers is not a big deal. This is how we know it's all thoughts, right?
Right.
Because your cheese and crackers to one person is not a big deal. And for you, it's like, this is just the start of my problems. Like, you know, just telling all of you right now, like this here, shame. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But this is what I want to ask you. So you said, oh my God, I get to be alone. Like, this is my thing. I don't think there's anything wrong like with that. But here's what I want to ask you. What's going on in your head when you're eating in front of other people to where you need a break and relief? That might be where the real problem is.
Like, you totally just hit me between the eyeballs. So I am so self-conscious of eating in front of other people because I've always felt like, incorrectly, I know, that they're judging what I'm eating because I've always been the fat girl. The fact that I'm at or near my goal weight right now is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I've always been judged. I'm always going to be that 270-pound girl who were like, totally didn't happen. If it did, that's their problem. But I've always felt that shame. So it's, if I'm alone, right, then I don't have to worry about that.
Except for your own shame and judgment that you put on the back end. That's the problem. You're like, we've uncovered a belief that people are judging me. Or that people like are going to think things about my food. Like I have to be, what is it that you said?
I have to be good because I'm in front of other people and they don't want to see the fat girl eating the nachos or whatever, you know, whatever I want to eat. I have to eat healthy in front of other people.
Are you still identifying as the fat girl? Okay. Well, that's what we got to break.
I know.
We need to like break the attachment to thinking I'm the fat girl. Like if that is who you at your core believe who you are, you're setting up your life to not be her. And you're doing it in a way that's like tearing you apart in all the different ways. You're white knuckling your way through your food life and life.
Yeah. I don't know how to not be her. I've always been her. Even, you know, I've up and downed myself all.
You have not always, well, first of all, you quit saying I have always been her. You're not her now. First thing you have to do is you have to start saying like, I'm not her now. I'm just identifying as her. I'm just thinking like her. Like, I think the first thing that's really going to have to happen for you before you're going to be able to believe anything new about yourself is to start separating out all of your thoughts from the actual facts. Like, I weigh this. I sometimes think I am my old version of me. Sometimes I think others are judging me. It's not true. Or sometimes people are judging me. And that's okay.
Yeah. I do a lot of thought work on letting the fat girl go.
Well, do you have to let her go? Or do you just need to like have compassion for her?
Oh, I have a lot of compassion for her. I feel like it's more of who I am, trying to figure out who I am now and behaviors I have now that I didn't have then. And figuring out the whole reason I joined PMP was to figure out how to not only lose the weight, but to lose for good and maintain. And that's been a lot of this year's work. But I think when I secret eat, I feel like, well, that's her coming back.
I think I would tell myself that's not her coming back. This is a symptom of me mismanaging my mind around when I eat in front of other people. You won't need to secret eat if you stop judging yourself when you're eating in public. Like, the biggest thing that I see going on with you is there's a good and a bad. There's no good and bad. There's no good and bad food. There's no good and bad behaviors of yours. There's no good and bad version of you. There's Julie. How much do you weigh?
150.
Julie, who weighs 150. There's Julie, who used to weigh what? Did you say 217 or 270?
At my highest, I was 270.
So there was Julie, who weighed 270. She wasn't bad either. She had mismanaged thoughts around food. There's Julie at 150 who has some mismanaged thoughts around food. You have a lot in common. It's just, the only difference is this Julie has learned how to eat healthier. Now she just learns how to have healthier thoughts around food.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at camp in January and you said something to me that, by the way, was shockingly awesome. I made a point of, I'm just so tired of this battle and I really want to, you know, move on. And I'm tired of having to fight to be, you know, always managing my weight. And you used a metaphor that I have constantly gone back to about, you know, do you want to retire? Do you like money? Do you save for retirement? And I said, of course, same thing. Well, duh. So I'm trying to get to that. Like, this is just who I am now with that mentality. So yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
It's that whole, like, you know, I think a part of it, because there's a lot of people that do this. You guys have got to quit villainizing behaviors and foods. It really has to get, so like, you know, for all of you who do the model, this is what I want you to think. Whatever you've eaten is now in the circumstance line. Even if you ate it alone, it's now in the circumstance line. It has just become like, this is a bottle of water. This is my secret eating. Like the cheese and crackers or the 10 donuts I had, whatever it is, the more you guys can practice really understanding, like, here are the facts of what's happened, and here are the thoughts that I am choosing to think about it, you will start understanding that this is not what's happening. Like, I think a lot of you really believe there are bad foods. You really believe that secret eating must be a bad thing. And the reason why I'm going to argue with you over it every single time is because if you hang on to that belief that that part of you is bad, you are going to feel shame. And when you feel shame, what do?
I just kill myself inside. I mean, I beat myself up, and then it becomes a spiral of negative self-talk, and it's hard to motivate myself when I'm in that place.
Yeah. And you create a story around food.
Yeah.
You create a story. You create a story around what other people must be thinking when you're eating and stuff.
It becomes my truth, which is bullshit, but it's that story becomes what I understand to be fact.
Yeah. And then it just keeps going in a circle. And you have to eventually just break the circle. And the only way to break the circle is like, what do you, like, if we weren't going to stop secret eating right now, like, we're going to just keep on doing it for a while. All right.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now, all of you who are doing it, kiss the thought goodbye of like, hey, Corinne, now give me that model where I don't do that anymore.
Which is actually what I've been trying to figure out. Right. That's why I was like,
well, you can create that model. Here's how you create that model. First, you're going to put the secret eating in the result line. It's going to be like, I don't do that anymore. That will be the result. And then you'll have to like go back through your model and like, what actions are required of me to not do that anymore? Like, you have to have personal constraints. You don't do it. You know, like, it's just something you don't tolerate. Those are the, like, how am I going to have to feel? You're going to have to feel control, determined, willing, uncomfortable. Those things have to happen first. And the thought will always have to be, I'm learning to unwind this. I'm willing to go through every bit of fire I need to stop the behavior. That is, but it takes time and time again of practicing visualization and doing all those things. But for now, what I want you to do is I want you to set that part aside because that's coming.
Okay.
The very first thing that has to happen is we got to figure out what you want to be thinking about this secret eating first and get really good at having compassion. Because the only way you'll ever be able to, if you're executing ending a behavior from self-loathing, thinking this is terrible, this is shameful, I shouldn't be doing this, you will do this in a punitive way, and that's why it will never work. You'll be able to get a little bit of success, and you'll always go back to what you were doing because you're doing it from self-loathing and punitive thoughts. You can only fight with yourself for so long before you tire out. Food will win. It tastes good. It's just sitting there waiting on you, and it's abundantly available. And your time, like, I'm usually not alone, but every now and then somebody's got to take a dump or take a shower, and the food is there.
Sadly, those are the times that I love.
Yeah. Because you're squeezing it in. You're not really giving yourself any relief. What you're really wanting is you're wanting relief from your own brain about you.
Yeah, I do.
And that starts with putting secret eating as a circumstance and refusing to beat yourself up ever again over it.
All right. That is going to take some work. But I've honestly, just to put it in a reframe like that, I never really thought to do it. So
I would start there, Julie. I would start with mentally thinking about it, writing why this is, how can I have this behavior right now and be totally compassionate with myself with it? Like, do work on being willing to have it in part of your life for now. And just be saying, like, and I'm going to, like, the moment that I feel like this is just a behavior I want to change versus something I hate about me and I need to change is when I get to work on the behavior. Then you get to do that part. But the first step is always you have to figure out how to, like, release all the shame, all the guilt, all of that stress. Otherwise, every time, because I'm just going to see you continually try to eat in your normal way. And even that's not going to be good enough. And I would also work on that too. Yeah. I would put in my model, like, dinner with the boys, lunch with friends, like healthy ass salad, or I would put in there nachos in front of someone, whatever it is. I would run some models like that of how do I want to be thinking and feeling. And you're going to have to really deliberately practice that. It is not going to be natural for a long time.
Yeah, it's going to take some work. I can feel it already just even talking about it. It's a little angst. But you're right. I jump right to you're bad. And instead of trying to fix it, I've been working on secret eating, eating after work, eating at night as, you know, things to fix instead of it just happens and let's just try to figure out why it's happening. And then
at a core level, I want you to work on your relationship just with yourself, that you're fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Like, I'm completely fine. Like, literally, like, I may have behaviors like every other human in the world. There are just certain behaviors that, you know, maybe I would get a better result and I would feel better if I didn't think those things or act that way. But it's not because I'm bad. It's, you know, just behaviors.
I was just this morning thinking I'm probably not going to work so much on the self-love course next month. I like myself. I'm good. But now you're making me think, like, maybe I should take a gander at that course.
Well, you should be all in on self-love. Like, you know, when you love yourself and you have a good relationship with yourself, when you can mess up and it doesn't mean anything other than, oh, I need to figure that out.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to work on that course then.
Like, I totally overate last night. Chris and I, we had date night and I, like a donkey, I didn't even plan date night. Like all of you, I got this. I'm the queen. I'll be fine. No. We went to Sonic last night and like, we had like one of those blasts. I have not had one of those things in like 10 years probably.
Oh my God, Sonic, that's hardcore. That's
It was delicious.
Oh, I bet it was.
But oh my God, this morning I'm like, oh, like, man, that's settled. Like, I just don't eat shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't get up this morning and be like, oh my God, I am the worst. You know, like, there was none of that. Like, I was just like, shit, I'm going to have to do a recovery worksheet like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. Yeah. Just that little bit of difference. I hear what you're saying of the, oh, that happened and I'm moving on. Every time I have an overeat, I'm like, oh, I suck. Why do I suck so bad? Why can't I get this?
It's so easy to go there. Even like me this morning, I'm going to tell you, I didn't wake up this morning just like, well, that happened. Time to do a recovery worksheet. There was like that moment of like, I cannot believe this. Like, you have coaching calls today and you teach this shit and whatnot. And then I just like stopped and was like, it was a sonic blast. Now I know that I need to make sure that I write down my damn plan before we go out. Like, that was the only thing. I was coming off of a week where I'd been, you know, going at it and being sick and everything. This was the last day to be relying on my decision-making skills in the moment when I'm having fun. Like, this is exactly when you want to plan, because your decision-making skills are not exactly 100%. You know, it's just reminding myself of that stuff. And when you do that, and when you're not like going to the shame and stuff, when you like can have those internal judgments and just not attached to them, it allows you to start like just moving forward and going on with your day and making the best of things and stuff.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with putting too much judgment on myself, I guess it is. Yeah. Anytime I stumble, I just got back from a 2-week vacation, which was amazing. Honeymoon in Italy. I mean, come on. Put it on your bucket list. It was awesome. But I consciously decided not to 24-hour plan. So I got this. I made my vacation protocol. I probably only had, but I was 2 to 2, you know, certain things I had. And I was actually pretty darn good. I had one bad one. Say bad, I had one overeat. And I came back and I gained nothing. But I have really had a hard time getting back in the groove of the 24-hour plan since then. And I just was thinking to myself yesterday, okay, lesson learned. You still need to do them. Even if it's a piece of paper in a hotel room, don't have to lug the binder, but you do need to do something.
I tell you, I'm like y'all, like if I plan, I pretty much am solid. The second I don't, it's like, I'm off the rails, like just eating whatever. Like if I don't plan my work day, I'm like in email all day long. I'm in the Facebook group. Like I'm just doing like all these things. I'm like, God, it really shows you though, how your brain loves and craves you making decisions for yourself first.
Yeah.
And then whether or not you follow all of them, like most people, this is what kills me about most of the people in the tribe. They'll say, you know, I do these 24-hour plans and I'm really good until this one point of the day. And so they throw away the rest of the good days. Like they stop making the plan and then they start donking off at lunch and then they start donking off at breakfast too. And I'm like, oh my God, I would have kept one like part of the day that's not going right for the rest of the good days until I figured that out versus, well, because I can't figure this one part out, I might as well just shit all over the rest of it.
Yeah.
Like, do we all hear what we think? Like sometimes, you know,
yeah, it took me a long time to get to that point. But when I got into the nice habit of every day doing a 24-hour plan and every day assessing, it really does. Rarely is it perfect, but it does provide the guardrails and the, I don't know, just a little bit of control that I need.
Yes.
And
keeps
yeah.
You on track. Keeps you on track.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Well, thank you.
You, I gotta go back and rewatch. This was a lot, girl. This was cool.
I think we'll be able to get it up today, if I'm not mistaken. Sadie's off on Monday. Sunday is always the call that's borderline. Depends on when I get it to her and everything. But yeah, go back and listen to it. I just want you to work first and foremost on that first model is like developing a relationship with this secret eating first. It can't be abusive. Like you're really working on that relationship first, because you work on that relationship. My cat's wailing over here. If you work on that relationship, then you get to start working on the behaviors next. Okay.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank
you very, very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Julie Holcomb, are you here? I see. And Manda. I'm looking for Julie and Manda. They both signed up for calls today. All right, Manda, you're next. Oh, wait. I think I just talked to Julie. Shit. Nina. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for Nina. I was like, I just got through talking to Julie. All right. What are we coaching on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was making sure that you could hear me and all that. I don't remember if you remember about this time last year, you coached me on a call about my husband moving overseas.
About your husband moving overseas?
Yes, for work to Dubai.
Okay.
So he's been there since August. We just got back from a visit. So that's been an interesting adventure.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just kind of set myself for what my next plans need to be. So I started using the habit tracker in March. And in March, like, I have all of my data. I've been in the tribe for over a year. I joined March of last year.
Okay.
So, and I've been doing, I have an accountability partner. Like, today is my day 132 of 24-hour plans. So.
Oh my God, congratulations. Shit, that's so
thanks.
Good.
Thanks. And I text them to my accountability partner, and we do that every day. And I'm in some Marco Polo groups, and all those things are value add to what I'm doing. But I'm really trying to focus on what my next steps are for weight loss, because I'm really not seeing the weight loss.
Okay.
I guess looking at kind of my tracker for March, and I really like that. And I'm going to continue to use that because that gives me data that says, here's what I need to change. And so when I look at that, as far as like pretty much everything else is spot on, as far as the basics, except for following that 24-hour plan. It was about 50% of the time. So half the time you're following plan, half the time.
So I know your next steps for weight loss. This is so easy. Yeah. Like, get to 100% and I bet you start losing weight.
Well, and that's where, so my question probably comes from is, if you're trying to create a realistic plan that you're going to follow, but then you're also wanting the weight loss.
You're not going to get the weight loss following an unrealistic plan half-ass. That's what you're trying to do right now. Like, oh, I really want to lose weight, so I'm going to create these really good-looking plans and half-ass them.
Okay.
That's literally what you just told me.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, that is the data. That is what the data says. Yes, you were right.
And you know what else the data says? We can't lose weight half-assing.
Yeah, right.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you plan realistically, your cat is like my cat's. Yes. There's always a tail or a cat somewhere running around. In fact, that one was over there crying a minute ago. Why do you think you can't lose weight with a realistic plan?
I have always been overweight. I mean,
that has
nothing
to do with a realistic plan.
You're right. But I think old diet mentality comes into it, has to be a certain way.
Right. Tell me why. Like, tell me specifically. I can't lose using the realistic plan because of these things.
I can't lose because of a realistic plan because I knew it was going to be a hard question. I couldn't. I know the answer. I just don't know how to get to the answer, I guess. I don't know. I know that I'm supposed to know. I think it's like everybody does, that it's supposed to be restrictive. So when I try to be restrictive, those are the
kinds. Well, the realistic plan is restrictive. I don't understand why y'all never think it's restrictive. Restrictive is an action. Restriction.
Right. Right.
Right. You're just trying to do it right now from fear, and it's not working over and over and over again. So like, I wish I had my whiteboard. I do not have a whiteboard in here. Your circumstance is your 24-hour plan. Your thought is, this is what it should be to lose weight.
Yeah.
What do you feel when you think this is what it should be to lose weight?
Hang on. I've lost you somehow. I was trying to.
No, you sound even better, whatever you're doing. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I just couldn't hear what you were saying. I don't know if I lost my Bluetooth or what.
So your circumstance is my 24-hour plan. Your thought is, this is what I should be eating. Like, when you create your current 24-hour plan, what is your major thought about it?
It is always, this is what I should be eating.
So this is what I should be eating. And how does that feel?
Some days I'm all in and I'm like, yes, this is what I should be eating and this is good for me and it makes me feel good.
Okay, so that's different than what you've been giving me before. So this is good for me. I'm all in.
Right. This is
exciting.
And some days I make my plan and then I'm like, oh, this is not going to be fun.
This is not going to be fun. Yeah. And that feels what?
Not good.
And then when it's not good, what are we jackassing around, half-assing?
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking plans?
Yeah.
And then we have new sign in weight loss.
Yeah. And I went from, so right when my first child, oldest child, went to college in August. And then a week later, my husband moved overseas. And I've always been a, like, closet eater in that when nobody's around, I would eat. Or if I was by myself, I would eat. And that's turned into, like, back this fall, that had turned into lots of binges, like, almost every day. Like, when I would get home from work, I would sit down with my foods. And so I started just putting those on my plan and deciding if I was going to do that or not. Because I've listened to your coaching on that. So I've stopped doing that, and I feel like I've already given that up and made a choice not to continue to do that. And then I'm trying to create a plan that I can follow, but it'll still cause weight loss.
Right. But the problem is that you're trying to create a plan that causes weight loss from misery.
Okay.
From shoulds, from what you think it has to be and stuff.
Okay.
Have you even considered for a hot second that it could actually be fun to lose weight, or that, like, I'm just going to create a plan that allows me to enjoy my food while I lose weight?
Yes.
What if you did that every day rather than just some days?
Okay.
Sounds like on the days when you actually do that, you follow the plan. You'd probably lose weight long term if you weren't shitting on the other days.
Probably so. Yeah.
You're restricting yourself right now from enjoying the process.
Okay. So just enjoy the process of, and change how I think about that.
You have to change how you're thinking about this process. Like, what is it going to take? You're going to need to ask yourself, what is it going to take for me to be 100% on plan?
Okay.
So tell me what your thoughts are.
About that or about the question?
What is it going to take for me to be 100% on plan? Give me some thoughts. This is going to be really helpful for a lot of our girls. No, I'm serious. This is probably the one thing I coach on the most.
I'm sure. I think one thing that it's going to take for me to be 100% on plan is to plan ahead.
Yeah.
Like to have, like, I just got literally landed last night at 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever time it was. And so I've already done my Instacart order, already had my food delivered. I've already written out, because I use the weekly plan every week to go through and, like, plan out. I usually have pretty much the same thing, breakfast and snacks. And then I'll mix up lunch and dinners. But I just thought, because I've been gone, I've got to get, if I don't have any food to eat in the house, I can't eat healthy food.
Right.
So
So you know, like, you're going to have to restrict yourself from free balling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. That's where we're going to restrict ourselves. We're going to restrict ourselves from all of the loosey-goosey, we'll figure it out. Let me just, I got my best interest in mind. I'm sure I'll be able to do this. So, but right. What else, though? What is it going to take for you to be 100%? Like, each day, when it comes to time to eat something, and you don't want to. You have a case of I don't want tos.
Yeah. I'm going to have to start some better mental rehearsal and things that I say to myself. I'm always the person who puts everybody else first. And so there are times where it's just like me and my daughter, and she'll say, let's go and eat here. Let's go out to eat. And so because it's just the two of us, I feel like it's okay. I know it wasn't on my plan, but I'm spending time with her. And so I'm going to have to say no to some things like that. That's not going to be easy for me to do as a people pleaser.
Why do you think she wants to go out to eat?
Because she just likes food. You know, she's 16, mm-hmm. Little skinny thing.
But do you think did she ask you that because she's like, I just really like food. Can you just drive me? Just drive her and drop her off. If it's just about the food, why don't you just say like, oh yeah, let me just drop you off. You text me when you're done eating. I'll come back and get you.
Yeah. Sometimes it is just about the food because I have said to her before, I'll go and pick up whatever you want. Yeah. I don't want any of that tonight. I'll go and pick up what you want. And
okay.
Sometimes it's just about the food. Sometimes it's probably about the relationship.
Okay. But do you think that you in the moment can know what's the difference?
Probably. I think if I say to her, hey, I'm going to pick up whatever you want, just like, you know, for takeout. And then we can eat together when we get home. That way I've got both things kind of covered, both of her, I guess, purposes in having dinner out would be covered.
That's
going
also,
from a family.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we went from a family of five to a family of two. Cause my mother-in-law lived with us for a pretty good while too. And so we were used to everybody sitting down because as a family meal. And now that everybody, three people left and it's just the two of us, and we don't always do that very often. So I wonder if that's something that she's missing too.
I just assume it was.
Yeah.
That's a good thought for you to think.
Yeah.
I think for your own, for you being able to lose your weight in a way that's going to feel really good for you is to be thinking, it's not about the food. Sometimes it is, like she just wants something particular, but most of the time it's about me and her. She's wanting her mama right now.
Right.
And one of the things that I think is a powerful question for people pleasers is how can I put myself first so I can give more to the people I love most? Most of you think in the wrong way. How can I put myself first and basically shit on them? Like people pleasers always think that when you put yourself first, it means that you have to do somehow someone must suffer in order for you to take care of you. And it's like, no, what if it's all about there is a way for me to take care of me that gives more? Just like you just figured it out by talking it through, if I prioritize eating on plan, I have now figured out a way to make sure my daughter and I can eat and be connected.
Right. Okay.
You know, all because you're just prioritizing your plan and your weight loss and yourself.
Right. Just a little shift.
Right. You figure out how to make, when you guys eat and you're eating on plan, it won't be because you're a selfish bitch. It'll be like, no, I'm eating on plan. And I've also figured out how to ask her for her opinion. I've figured out how to make this about the experience. And it's not just, oh yeah, I feel terrible because everybody's moved out. We should probably go out to eat. I should probably let her have, she probably just wants this. You've made it about the food.
Right.
And some skis ball experience rather than a 16-year-old who'd like to spend time with her mother.
Right. I guess I should be thankful for that too.
Yes. You can practice gratitude while you're at it. But it's that whole idea of, you know, I think what I'm noticing with you is how can you solve your problems in a way that feels good versus how can I quit seeing my problems as problems?
Yes. That's exactly it. I want to be able to look at all of this, you know, and it be neutral and just see you know, really be able to see, oh, this is my next one thing to focus on. And when I get that down, then I'll know this is the next thing. You know, so first it wasn't consistently doing the 24-hour plans, and there was a space, you know, in all the transitions and moves that wasn't happening. And so now I can do that. And I also, like, I also assess and do a TDL and a model every day with that. And so some of the times those questions have been, you know, the circumstance line would just be, I ate blank, and try to process through some of that to figure out why I did it. And for me, it's, I don't know about other people, but for me, in my mind, it always, I convince myself something is going to taste better, or the experience is going to be better than it really ever is.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of times, even for me, like last week while we were with my husband, we took the girls, daughter and her friend, to the Cheesecake Factory. Like, that was planned. I planned what I was going to eat. I stopped at my plus two. I had put on my plan that I was going to order cheesecake, but only eat half of it. Cause she's just not there very often. So it's something that we enjoy. And that was part of, like, my exception. And after I was there and had my meal, I didn't want it. Like, I just, it was one of those, like, moments where it was kind of like, it's not going to be all this great thing that you think it's just cheesecake.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not going to be what this magnificent thing that you think in your mind it's going to be.
Well, and most of the time, when we think about food, like, I would love for all of you to ask yourself, when you're visualizing eating something delicious and all this other stuff, ask yourself for a minute, when I'm eating the food and I have it in my mouth, what am I feeling in that moment? That is what you're ultimately going after. You have cheesecake, you'll have thoughts about the cheesecake, yeah, and you will feel something in your body. And it won't be, like, sweet. You will feel relief or fun or relaxed or connected, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's just important, before you even ever start either not having those foods or whatever, it's just important to understand why you're eating them to begin with. And when you really know, like, this was the feeling I was trying to create, then you get to start understanding, oh, I'm actually, it's not the cheesecake. Like, probably that meal, the reason why the cheesecake lost its luster, probably had something to do with, because you started talking about the whole event as being special, and we don't get to do this very often, and all this other stuff. If you're really in the moment of that, it's a lot easier for your brain to not need the cheesecake to create the feelings of it. You're creating the feelings by actually being present.
Yeah.
So you're not needing the cheesecake to provide what you thought it was going to provide.
Right. And I was there with my husband, and so we're all there together on a date. And so, you know, that's been a part of it too, is, you know, not having that, your spouse with you regularly is, I'm going to have another cat going crazy, is a new challenge, that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
So, you know, date night doesn't look like date night because he's 7,000 miles away.
Right. But, well, make those plans more realistic, and, like, how am I going to lose weight that's fun? And also ask yourself, when I'm breaking those plans, what am I really looking for? I think there might be something there a little something there going on.
Okay.
Not just diet mentality. Like, I'm eating for a reason, and I just want to know what the reason is.
Okay. All right.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You got your homework.
Yep. Write it all down.
Bye.
Bye.
God, y'all, did y'all hear how many 24-hour plans? That's freaking amazing. I want you guys to understand, like, when I was talking to her, do you see how, because she's doing plans so often and she's doing so much of the worksheets and everything, it was really easy for her to follow along with my questions. Like, it was really easy for her to kind of start really figuring out what's going on, and she took notes. That is the benefit of, like, being willing to just see the stuff and not being afraid of it. There's no fear. Here's the thing. You all have thoughts, feelings, and actions going on all the time. Whether or not you want to look at them is up to you. I'm just going to tell you, when you know it, you at least have afford yourself the opportunity to possibly change it. When you just keep not looking at it for a fear of whatever, it's already happening. Whatever you don't like is already happening. The worst that, this is the thing I tell everyone, when you're doing your thought work, when you're doing your journaling, when you're doing your assessments, recovery worksheets, you guys will come up to me and say, I'm so afraid of what I'm going to find out. The only reason why you're afraid of something is because you will judge yourself for it. There is nothing you will ever uncover that will ever destroy you or do anything. There will either be a shitty thought that will generate disappointment or a feeling of sadness, or maybe you'll have a feeling of shame. That is literally the worst that goes on, is some kind of a feeling will come over you. There's nothing, you have to tell yourself, there's nothing that actually will happen to me. But our brain convinces us that knowing shit about us and how we think can do something to us. It can't do anything but provide enlightenment. That's all it gets to do. And then how you think about that afterward is totally up to you. All right, Miss Nina, you're next.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I was here at the very beginning, but I had NV Cullen down. It didn't show Nina Cullen, so I reached
out. Oh, that's okay. I was like, I just started calling on people that I had names. That's fine. What are we coaching on?
I'm an April baby, and I wanted to get coached on overeating today. I feel like I've heard a lot of good information over the course of the last two people that you coached. I think my biggest struggle is resisting the plan and overeating. I had two wonderful weeks, 24-hour plans every single day, did great. I am a perfectionist at heart. So as soon as I started to deviate, I felt like I was messing up and it wasn't going well. And then I just stopped doing the plans.
And so you had a lot of thoughts.
Oh, lots of thoughts. Always this head of mine, if you could be inside. But anyway, and then I made a 24-hour plan yesterday and wrote in going out to dinner a couple of different times. I was going out to lunch and going out to dinner, wrote in wine, everything. And even then, I didn't stick to it. You know, so I'm just really, really, this is kind of, you know, my pattern. I do really, really well at first and then I fall off and I feel like I'm falling into that same pattern. I've done a ton, name the diet, I've done it. And I just really want to succeed this time.
You're not really falling into a pattern. I want to like really point this out for everyone. Everybody thinks they fall into patterns. You start a diet, no matter what it is, put Weight Watchers, put everyone that you've ever done, including PMP up there.
Yeah.
At some point, the inevitable mistakes start happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want you to like, just be realistic with me, not perfectionistic.
Yep.
Are you ever going to lose weight? Is anybody ever going to lose weight and not have mistakes?
No, that's not realistic.
Right. It's 100%. Very unrealistic. It is like right. Unicorn central. If we think like, no, I'm the one. There are people that have their stomachs operated on.
Yeah.
And they still make mistakes and have like blow their britches out. So like if they can do it, all of us following PNP thought work for sure are going to do that, right?
Exactly.
The problem that comes in is that the moment of impact when we have our first mistakes, when it's not new or whatever, our thought patterns change.
Right.
That's all that happened. This is not something you're following. This is not like, this is just who I am. You got to watch. That's a thought. This is just what I do. Because if you really believe that you're the kind of person who starts diets and blows them up, then you will look for mistakes and you will create thoughts that say, see, here comes the pattern. I told you the good, it could only last for so long.
Right.
You'll start proving your own reality. Your brain has beliefs. Beliefs are just things you've thought over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to believe those things, you have to start thinking something new over and over and over again on purpose until the emotion backs it up.
Right.
Right now, your emotion's not backing up, and that's fine. You don't need it to.
Yeah.
You just need to separate out that that's not who you are.
And they're deep-rooted beliefs. It's a deep-rooted.
No, there's no deep-rooted beliefs. You know that's a lie.
If you're telling me it's a lie, I'm going to believe you.
I like literally have a workbook in front of me. I'm working on a secret program right now.
Oh,
let me read you something.
Oh, I feel very excited to know the secret program.
I will read to all of you. hang on. It's like right here. Old wounds. Sometimes people will tell you that they have really old wounds or old pain or deep-rooted beliefs. They'll also tell you that they have really old thoughts. But the truth is, there's no such thing. This is from, like, the book on thought work. Like, the real book. It's impossible to feel a feeling when you're 3 and then re-experience it now. So, like, it's impossible for – how old are you, Nina?
I'm going to be 42 next month.
Okay. So let's say at 36, you did keto and it was a terrible experience and you broke the diet. You lost all kinds of weight and you broke the diet and you regained your weight. There's no way at 42 that you can re-experience that now.
That's true.
The only thing that's happened is you're having a new thought about something from where you were back then. Right. And that's creating the new feeling today. And you need to know this because you cannot experience pain from your past. What happened to you in your past is over. The only pain you ever experience now is the pain you create now. So when you are trying to lose weight and you're like, oh, but it's my deep-rooted beliefs, it's all these other things, that's you trying to say, I have an excuse to fuck up. No, you don't. You know what you have? Some bullshit thinking that you're going to need to say, like, nope, you know the reason why I broke my plan today? Because of a thought.
Or because I really wanted the French fries.
Yeah, then that's the thought. I really want the French fries is my thought.
No, I agree. No, like, it's true. And I think that is, the belief system is just something I really need to work on. I think that's kind of where a lot of my work needs to start. While just doing the 24-hour plans, I've been trying to make them as realistic as possible, but that belief system is a big challenge for me.
But are they truly real? Are you really making them realistic?
So I think that yesterday I made a really good realistic plan. I think that I get idealistic sometimes on my plans though.
So yesterday though, what happened? If it was so realistic, why did you still break it? Like, tell me what you planned and then what actually happened.
Sure. For the first thing in the morning, I planned 2 eggs and coffee, which is kind of my standard breakfast. Super easy. And then I knew I was going to go where there were cookies. I did an event and there were cookies. I said, okay, I'm going to have one cookie. Okay. And then right away I had a cookie and a scone, you know, I'm like, why did I do that? You know?
So let me ask you this. When you planned that one cookie where you're like, that will be so easy. I will not be tempted by anything else. Like, this will be a no-brainer.
You know, I kind of thought I could stop at one cookie. I did. And I obviously couldn't. And then after I did that, in my mind, it was like, oh, I already messed up. So it's all just going to be a mess for the rest of the day. You know, it just kind of like the one deviation just gave me permission in my mind to just screw up the rest of the day. And then we went to lunch and I had looked at the menu ahead of time. I went to lunch with 3 girlfriends and I looked at the menu. I had planned my chicken Caesar salad with avocado. That sounds great. I'm like, Caesar, it's a little bit indulgent, right? And
a Caesar salad is indulgent.
Well, with the dressing and everything, and maybe not.
I eat a fucking salad with full-on fat dressing every day of my life. I hope that that's not indulgent. Otherwise, I guess I'm destined to regain my weight.
Okay. So
what did you end up having?
And I put a glass of wine on there as well because I knew it was going to be my girlfriend's. I ended up having, you know, they ordered stuff for the table. So there was like buffalo cauliflower and then French fries and like hummus and, I don't know, bread, pita bread. And so I indulged in all of those.
Okay, but let me ask you this. When you were making the plan,
yeah,
did you think, I will be able to just get a Caesar down, and if they order all the things, I'll be fine?
I don't know that I even thought about the appetizer ordering. I think that was just a mess up on my part. I just thought, let me focus on what I'm going to eat. I didn't think about the appetizer part.
Okay, so now what we've learned through this is to think a little bit more about what potentially could happen.
Yeah.
What else could be going on if I'm going out with girlfriends.
Yeah.
And we're going out to eat.
It would make sense to kind of factor that in because it will likely happen. Exactly.
Okay. And then for dinner, what did you plan?
So my husband and I had a date night, and he had, you know, recommended one of my favorite restaurants. And I said, yep, let's go there. And I planned to do just the soup, which I stuck to that, but I did eat all the chips. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to have the soup and I'm not going to have any chips because it was a Mexican restaurant. So of course I get there and I'm like, but I'm going to have the chips. So,
okay. So I'm just going to tell you right now. Do you really think yesterday was a realistic plan, or do you think that was an idealistic plan?
It was probably more idealistic than realistic as I'm talking through it now.
Yes. So I would verbalize my shit out loud sometimes.
Yeah. Like I'm full of shit for putting that plan together. Like it was literally like, this is what I'm going to do and it's going to be great. And I'm going to lose weight this way versus, yeah, this is what I'm actually going to be eating.
Yeah. And I think it's fine, guys. I literally think it's fine, but you have to understand, like if you were going, like you have to be committed first.
Right.
Right. To lose weight, it is going to take commitment to do things that we don't want to do in the moment we want it the most. And if your commitment skill isn't sharp as attack, you have to fight the version of you who wants to take 30 steps ahead. You have to be the version of you that's willing to take one step at a time.
Right.
If you're
myself where I am.
Yeah. And you're me, like one of the things you need to like really do is like, all right, every day, is this truly realistic? Because I would have rather you've planned all the shit that you ate so that when you went to each one of those, you would be like, do I really want to have all of this? Rather than being what you did, which was start the snowball of fuck this. I've got this like, this is a no fun plan. Now, like I've already ate this cookie and a scone and all my girlfriends are doing all this other stuff. Like there's two big key components for you to work on.
Yeah.
It's one has got to work on like when you break the plan, it has nothing to do with the next meal. Nothing.
Yeah. And I wish that that was the end of my eating for the day yesterday, but it wasn't. Cause then I decided to have an overeat and got anxious about an email I got and decided that I was going to eat slice of pizza and some cereal and some cheese. And it was just like fog eating, just overeating. I wrote it down. I know I need to do my recovery worksheet, but, that was just a mess. Yesterday was kind of a mess.
I wouldn't call yesterday a mess. Is that helpful?
No, it's not. You're right.
What is yesterday?
Yesterday was, I just ate a lot yesterday.
No, that's not even helpful.
Okay.
If you're wanting to lose weight, if the result is weight loss that you want.
Yes.
How are you going to think about yesterday?
I don't know. How should I think about yesterday?
Yesterday is telling me everything I'm going to need to know in order to lose all my weight. Mm-hmm. Like you need to go back and look at it as like, that was like the laboratory for a lot of things that are going to give you so much powerful information going forward. One, like lesson one, I have a tendency, if I blow my plan, to carry it over into the next meal, I need to learn how to break that habit in myself. I need to learn the thoughts I want to have when I break my plan. How am I going to think the next meal? How, like, visualize yourself breaking your plan and have an immediate compassion and immediate focus to get right back on the plan. Even if it means like eating a cookie and a scone and saying, you know what, this is a really good signal that maybe the rest of my day needs to be fine-tuned. Maybe I should just look at the rest of my plan and make sure I've set myself up for success. Number two, it tells you like, oh my gosh, I just realized that when I get anxious, I want to eat a bunch of food. Why was I not like, first of all, I need to figure out why I was so anxious over the email to begin with. There's ThoughtWork Central sitting right there for me. The other thing is, what's the worst about feeling anxious? All those sentences going through my head in an email. This is a really good opportunity for me to learn how to like have something happen I don't think it should be or whatever was going on, feel bad, feel anxious, and decide what I do with that.
Mm-hmm. And sit with a feeling versus trying to eat with food. Yeah. Because to me, it's like, let me go feel full instead of feeling anxious. That's a better feeling. You know, that's kind of where my mind has been going. And that's the behavior I have to change.
Yeah. And it's like sitting with that and just understanding, like, what is the worst that's going to happen? I literally, and my brain is going to write, like, here's the thing, like when you're feeling anxious or when you're feeling mad or whatever, like, especially over an email, the worst that's really happening, this is what I always tell myself. The worst part of this is all the shit I'm thinking about it.
That's probably not fact.
Yeah. But when I tell myself that it's literally like, I'm not even ready to let go of my judgments.
Yeah.
I just take ownership that I feel this way. Like, it's not the email doing this.
Not
because
me.
when we eat from anxiety,
it's
because we think the email is causing our pain. We're not sitting there going, and the worst that's happening is everything I'm thinking about this damn email right now. Mm-hmm. When you take ownership of that feeling, you don't need to get out of it with food.
Yeah.
You're willing to sit with it and either solve your damn problem or just be upset for a little bit.
And you know, I got to tell you, you know, you're saying that, and that's something that's really powerful. I don't know that I ever let myself sit with that feeling of anxiety, which I have really often. And that's a really hard thing for me to sit with that feeling. It's super uncomfortable. And it's a tough thing. And I look to feel a different way. And the way I can do it is go eat. So I am just full. And like, I'm going to focus on that now, being full. It's so much easier than being anxious.
Well, and I think that's a story you'll have to break inside your head. That's another, that's another thing you're going to learn from tomorrow or yesterday, is that you have a story that's easier than anxiety.
Yeah.
And that is a thought that is going to it's going to help you keep eating. That thought is going to result in eating through pain rather than dealing with pain. And the thought needs to be like, this does anything but make me feel better.
Yeah. If anything, it causes more anxiety.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you have to do, is you have to like literally write like, my overeating when I don't want to feel anxiety, this is the new story that I'm going to be telling myself. It causes so much more pain. I have to like, you know, go through all this crap with my weight loss. I have to like sit there and think about how am I going to undo all the food damage? Like all the things that go on there, so that your brain can start really seeing what the real story is, that it's not better. It's not taking away the anxiety or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just adding to the problems. That's really all it's doing. But you have to, like, guys, you got to tell yourself this stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's easier. Like, when you rewatch this, I want you to rewatch it. And I want you to see how you talk about it. Like, eating to, like, what did you call it? I'd rather feel full than anxious.
Yeah.
Like, that's your circumstance. You say it as if this is a fact. Like, yeah, I'd rather do that. And it's like, when you can really accept that it's a thought, it's like, do you want to keep thinking it?
No.
Right.
No. I'm 42 years old. I've fought being overweight my entire life. I'm so done. Like, I just want to be this. I want this to be the difference, the change for me.
It will be. It's just going to be slower.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, for you, it's going to be turning everything that you've believed about yourself up on its head.
Right.
Like, I'm a perfectionist. It's like, what if you're not? What if you're just Nina?
Yeah. And that's got to be good. Yeah.
You know, like, what if you're just Nina, who's losing weight, who will make some mistakes and use it to learn how to keep her weight off? Like, that totally could be your story about your weight loss versus, well, I'm a perfectionist. And when I eat one wrong thing, it all snowballs out of there. And then if I feel anxious, oh my God, like, that's the story about Nina being the weight loss person, and you need to rewrite your story. And it's going to take like you thinking about it, visualizing it, catching yourself in your own bullshit every single day. I'd write about it every day. If you really want to lose the weight, I would write that story down every day of like, these are the things I want to be thinking about my weight loss. I want to retire these old thoughts. It's going to take a while, but I want to retire them.
You have no idea. They're just absolutely debilitating. It would be great to just finally be free of them, for sure.
Yeah. And it's just literally, it just takes a lot of time thinking new things.
Yeah.
They feel anything but real.
Yeah.
You tell yourself, the more invested I am on repeating them.
Yeah.
one day it'll click into place. You'll start finding evidence for it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I'm going to really work on a realistic plan for today. Today I've only had coffee and strawberries. So I have a nice clean slate. Let me get my 24-hour plan down and make it realistic for myself.
Yeah. And write today, like I want you to do it after you get off this call, write down the things I want to believe about me and my weight loss. Make them good. Sky's the limit.
I'm only on the very beginning right now. I haven't gone into all the other modules with the future self. I keep hearing women talk about it. And that's something I've kind of thought about. But it was interesting even listening to, I think it was Julie, the first girl who has lost almost all her weight and how she still has those thoughts. You know, that's really interesting for me to hear that, because you do have to really consciously shift your thinking. Like, she still thinks in the fat girl thinking way, yes. You know?
Yes.
And gosh, it would be so great to be free of that for sure.
Well, we are actually next week with you guys. We're just doing realistic planning, but if you want to move ahead in the modules, you absolutely can. But next week's focus is the realistic plan. That doesn't mean that you can't go ahead and start listening to some of the other modules ahead of time. I mean, we're going to keep just re-going through all this stuff. Like literally, as all these tribe members that have been, you know, like a year in, they come on here and we're still reviewing the same stuff. Like this book that I just read from you from.
Yeah.
I am such a believer in always going back to your basics and your foundations. This is the initial program that I got certified 4 years ago. And I'm going back through and just reviewing all of the foundations of life coaching. Like, I don't know this, but I swear to God, Nina, sitting here reading stuff, I'm like, shit, did we even learn that? Like, you totally. Never know. You always go back through stuff. That's why I have the girls do it all the time.
Yeah. Any other advice for me aside from like the 24-hour plans and doing the thought work? I mean, is there anything other? I know that changing my thinking, and I'm going to keep saying it until I believe it. But as a newbie, I guess I'm just asking if there's any other big things I should be working on.
I think the biggest game changer for all of you outside of just doing the four basics is, what are you going to do when you mess up?
Yeah.
Every single person, I don't teach a method that is, it is not like I give you a meal plan and it's like black and white. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like boom, 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 boom.
No. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It invites exploring. It invites experimenting. It is built on the foundation of, you have to learn how to be compassionate with yourself. You have to learn how to teach yourself how to move forward, how to learn, how to self-examine with a self-love mindset. I mean, that's the way the course is built. So if there's like one piece of advice, especially because you're a perfectionist, whenever somebody identifies as a perfectionist, the number one is quit calling yourself that. It's it's never going to help you, because I really believe your definition of it is probably very skewed. So you might as well quit using the term. That's the easiest way to fix it.
Yeah.
But the next thing is, you figure out today, not only I want you to think about, all right, as a weight loss person, what do I want to be believing about this weight loss? But I would also do something along the lines of like, and every time something doesn't work out the way I think it's supposed to, or I don't follow my plan, or I blow my two, whatever happens, what am I willing to think in that moment? Right. That is probably going to be the most important work you'll do, because if you do that, then you set yourself up to, like, yesterday would have been a whole different story if you'd ate a cookie and a scone and you just been like, you know what? I get to try again with my girlfriends. Yeah. That's the beautiful part of this program. Nothing's over.
Exactly.
Don't be deliberate all day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, that had been your mindset rather than like, fuck this, man. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. This is some shit. I'm such a perfectionist. I can't even follow it. There is, you know, like.
Totally. And I also like what I've been listening to a lot of your podcasts, but the idea, and I think a couple of women have brought this up, is just like, stop looking outside of yourself for your happiness. You know, it's like, yeah, really, like you were talking about, like, we're going to focus on self-love. It's like, I'm always like, my husband has to be better. You know, he just has to be better. He has to do this, that, and the other thing. And that's what's going to make me happy. And it's like, well, how about like, what am I doing for myself?
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, anyways, I want to give someone else a shot. You've been with me for a long time. Thank you so much.
There was only three of you today.
Oh, there was only three of us today.
I know. So nobody got in there and got that last spot. I'm just lonely here today.
Oh my gosh. Well, I really have been I've really been enjoying everything so far. I don't know. I just love how forgiving the program is. I think that that is the most important thing, you know, like where you're just not beating yourself up, you know, even though I am. But you're not supposed to be.
Well, and I'm hoping that's the message it comes across, because I think I just think that we have been taught to beat ourselves up so much in our life. We need things modeling to us actively, but there's a new way, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Corinne. Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.
Bye. All right. Let me see. I had a couple. Let's see what I... When I make my 24-hour plan and plans change, can I change my meal plan and still be considered on plan? Example, my husband just invited my mother-in-law for dinner, which is 2 hours from now. Can I rewrite the plan before the meal and still consider it on plan? You can, Crystal, if you want. I usually, what I do is I consider it off plan, but I rewrite it in a way that like feels good for me, but I still track it as an off plan. I think one of the things that like, I want you guys to not have judgment, whether it's on plan or off plan. I want you to be thinking like, I'd rather track this as an off plan so I can kind of see what my data is and how often I might be changing things. Cause I still may be able to lose weight and that means this is fine. Or I may look back in a couple of weeks, be like, oh, I didn't lose weight. I need to make sure that I'm not changing plans as often. Like, it's just more for your data collection than it is for anything else. So that's kind of my opinion on it. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I hope you have a great one, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.